Welcome, everyone, to the Grace Force. This is the Grace Force podcast. We have Jesse Romero here with us. This is awesome. Doug, my buddy. So let's start with a prayer. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our defense against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the Heavenly Hosts, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right. Well, Doug, you want to lead us off tonight?
Yeah, sure. First, we got a shout out to the Rosary Coast to Coast and all the great people we met out there from U.S. Grace Force who watch U.S. Grace Force podcast out in D.C. Before we get to that, though, and we'll show you a few images. We got some pictures to throw up on that. I want to, first of all, as always, we want to thank all those who support the Grace Force podcast with your prayers and your encouragement. And we saw that out in D.C. So many people, it's just so kind and very humbling to have so many people say that they listen or watch the podcast. It means a lot to us. But also want to thank those of you out there who support us through your patrons, through Patreon, I should say. If anybody's interested in becoming a patron, you can click the link below in the description. And you'll see down there, Patreon, click on that, pray about it, see if you feel God might be calling you in some way to support us on some level financially. Always is a tremendous help to us. There's a lot of people behind the scenes, I always say, who are working on this constantly. Got a producer sitting next to me right now who's making notes and keeping tabs on things. And so we've got a lot of people behind the scenes. So thank you so much, all of you who support us with your prayers and your financial support. Also, don't forget to go out to the U.S. Grace Force gear page in the link below, again, in the description. We got some amazing, as Father always says, amazing, awesome t-shirt designs, coffee mugs, baby onesies, cell phone cases, all kinds of stuff. You can tell people that you're out there fighting for the truth, that the dogma lives loudly within you. Let me pull that up right there. Boom, there we go. The dogma is loudly within me. Ta-da! It's kind of a cheesy green screen thing I got going here, but it works. So anyway, going out to the U.S. Grace Force gear page and check that out. And there's all kinds of other cool stuff out there for the Grace Force. Boy, that kind of makes my face look like it's kind of morphing. Let's get out of that right there. Okay. Also, I want to let everybody know right now, as you listen to this, Wednesday, the 14th of October, we have just put on for sale our new emergency preparedness training course, Battle Ready Emergency Preparedness course. Go on out. We've got from the 13th to the 17th. It is on sale for $147, and after that, it goes up to its normal price. And right now, you just get in on it now. And you have to understand what we've done with this. This course covers an enormous amount of stuff to deal with the crisis, everything from jumpstarting your car if your battery dies, changing a flat tire, all the way to civil unrest and the possibility of even some form of uprising in our country, and how to be better prepared for shelter, water, food, medical, self-defense, and especially our faith. And know that as Catholics, our job is to bring light and faith and truth out to the world wherever there's darkness. We're not supposed to just hunker down and hide. We're supposed to be out there on the front lines, evangelizing, spreading the faith. That also means bringing food, water, protection, shelter, and self-defense. So we put a whole course together on this, and there will be more pieces constantly added to it. But we didn't want to wait until it was completely done because we wanted to get it out as soon as possible. And the majority of it is out now at the time you're listening to this and watching this. But there will be more pieces added. If you buy it for whatever price you get it at, you will continually receive the updates at no cost. Okay, so anything we add to it from here until kingdom come, for the price you buy it at, the $147 sell price or the regular price, you're going to continue to get the updates of more material information as it unfolds. Just so you know, there's a lot more to come. What you get is not everything you're going to get. You're going to get a lot more. And it's all through what the Catholic Church teaches. We look at it through the perspective of the eyes of the Catholic Church. So it has a very moral grounded approach to it. And the reason I spend time on this is I know all three of us agree with this. Jesse, you're a former law enforcement, and you and I have had a lot of conversations on, self-defense and the responsibility we have. It's one of the most Christian things we can do to be ready to protect and defend others and actually have a plan to do that. I know what the church is teaching is regarding that. We've done shows on this before. We did a show for our TV show Battle Ready in EWTN. You are a guest on that. We went through all that. Had some great B-roll of you working with your sons, fighting in the garage. It was a great, great episode. And Father, you and I have talked about just the importance of having a plan to prepare and be prepared to care for those that God entrusts to you on all levels, spiritually and in the natural realm. So anyway, everybody go out and check it out. The link is in the description below. Battle Ready Emergency Preparedness Course. God bless you all. You're going to love it. You're going to get a lot out of it. Thanks be to God. Father, we have a great guest tonight.
Yeah.
This man is actually, Jesse, you were saying before the show, you were out traveling recently on a bus tour wearing multiple hats, just encouraging people to understand the importance of the Catholic vote. And the one you've got on right now, Cops for Trump. And that blue line. Hey, Jesse, explain to the crowd. I mean, Father and I are aware of this, but explain to the audience what that statement, the thin blue line, actually means when we refer to law enforcement as the thin blue line.
It basically means that law enforcement is the old, it's like the prophet Ezekiel talks about calling men to stand in the gap. The thin blue line, it basically means that law enforcement, these guys are the vanguard. These guys are the ones that stand within the gap between us, good citizens, and the anarchist, like BLM, like Antifa, Occupy Wall Street. If you remove law enforcement, you'll have anarchy in every single city and town in your neighborhood. The only thing that stops them is that thin blue line of brave young men and women that go out there and suit up day in and day out, and they stand in the gap, as the prophet Ezekiel says.
And for people who might not know, I mean, a lot of people know know your reputation, but you spent how many years? 20 plus years?
20 years in the LA Sheriff's Department. I had a conversion very early on, and I just took a different course. So right after 20 years, I told the sheriff, I'm gone, sheriff. God is calling me to do something else. And I left in good standing. I mean, I could have returned anytime. He was holding my job for years and stuff. They would call me up every year. Okay, are you tired of preaching? No, sheriff, I'm still going to, this is what God is talking to do. They'd call me up every year for like 10 years. They finally said, man, this guy's really serious about this.
Yeah. And one of your claims to fame is you were actually in one of the squad cars behind O.J. Simpson's famous white Bronco chase scene, right?
Is that right?
I was one of 16 cars behind O.J. Simpson.
Oh, my goodness.
10 freeway onto the Harbor Freeway and onto the 405 freeway into his house in Brentwood. Yeah, it was the LAPD, LA Sheriffs, and Highway Patrol. We were chasing him at 40 miles an hour because he wasn't going fast. He just wasn't stopping. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that like it was yesterday. Mm. Yeah. Yeah. Hey, Jesse. One of the things I want to talk about first is we were recording this on Monday, so I just drove through the night from Washington, D.C., so if I look a little pie-eyed, that's what's going on. But anyways, where did I come from? Well, we had what's called the National Rosary Rally out in Washington, D.C., and unbelievable, and we had one of the ones that was just amazing was Bishop Coffey was there, and he's the auxiliary bishop for the military, and his talk was just incredible. We actually got to go on a pontoon ride with him the night before, some of the team that was together, the speakers and that. Also, Sister Dee Dee was there. I told the people, I got to meet Sister Dee Dee. Lord, you can take me now, But it was just a great event, and we were out there, and it wasn't torrential rain, but, it was a steady rain while we were out there. And, we had a sense, too, that was even a challenge that we were called to rise above. And the crowd was one of our biggest crowds we've ever had. We've been doing this since 2016. And what is it? So we call that kind of the anchor, what we do at National Rosary Rally. But we ask people from around the nation to actually get out in public places. If you can get to the borders or the coast, that's great, because it's kind of the idea that, we want a sovereign country, religious liberty and all godly things here under God, but also, capitals. And so there was just, and so I was telling people that our beautiful, wonderful evangelical brothers and sisters 2 weeks ago were out in the same place we were yesterday, Sunday it would have been. So, they were out there and they had like 100,000 people. And we had just a few hundred that were there. And you could say just, but we just did it differently, you know, and it's not a competition, but it's just the idea that look how much our evangelical brothers and sisters poured their hearts out to call upon God to rain down his grace upon our nation, to heal our land. And they did that a couple of weeks ago. And now we came behind them and we just did differently. We probably had 100,000, I don't know, maybe 200,000 people all around the nation at the same time. And one of the things we wanted to synchronize is that we would pray the glorious mysteries at the exact same time. So the hour of mercy central time, so 3 p.m., but we were 4 p.m. out there and whatever time zone there was for people. So there we were praying the glorious mysteries together. Bishop Coffey actually led us in that. And we did a Eucharistic procession from St. Peter's Church up near the nation's capital and down to the place where we were kind of in front of the reflecting pool. But just amazing. And, you know, I think a lot of people understand, at least, you know, I think people who have the Holy Spirit in them, because one of the things you notice is what God's up to when you have the power of the Holy Spirit on you. And I think you'd agree. You also notice what the devil's up to. And it's just like, it's incredible what we're seeing. And I was saying too, I think that the devil is just arrogant right now. I mean, he doesn't even bother hiding his stuff. And so we're heading into really a monumental election. And so that's what we want to be talking about tonight. We have kind of our funny name, mansplaining for the Catholic vote. But Doug came up with that, by the way. So if anybody's going to criticize us, go after Doug.
I'm just paid attention to what the media on the left said.
Exactly.
Recently.
we're just kind of poking at the media. Yeah. But yeah. Anyways. That was fun. But Jesse, you know, that's what we want to talk about tonight, you know, critical time. Maybe we can start there, Jesse. You know, why, and I think, again, people who are filled with the Holy Spirit notice this because their hearts are just, they're soft, they're raw. They see what God and the devil's up to. What are we seeing right now that's so critical? Why is, I call it, we're on the precipice of the cliff. You know, what do you think, why is it so critical right now?
I'll just go right for the jugular vein. I went recently to the website, the Temple of Satan in Detroit, Michigan, because wow. they're very active politically. So I went to their website to see if they had any policy positions, which they did. So I looked at the Church of Satan in Detroit, Michigan, and here's what I found. Okay. Number one, policy positions. We are pro-abortion. We are pro-contraception. We are in favor of homosexual marriage. A baby is not a human being, and it belongs to the mother. What else does it say here? We don't want religious symbols in public places. We are against the religious liberty laws. As I'm looking at the Church of Satan, and I looked at, then I went over to DNC.com, Democrat Party, and I saw that they were exactly parallel.
Yeah, their platform.
The Church of Satan's policy positions,
yep,
and the Democrat Party are identical.
Yes.
Does that say everything that I have to say?
I know.
Yeah. Jess, thanks for coming on the show tonight. All right, folks, don't forget to join us next week for... No, so, yeah, if there's anything that sums it up, how can that not hit us in the head like a 2x4? It baffles the mind.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
can I get into my shirt that I'm wearing on, because I think you hit on it perfectly, and I'd like to, if you all can see that. All right. I actually made just a handful of these like 5 years ago, and I found it today, and I says, I gotta put that on. Doug, I think we're going to make these right now.
Yeah,
right?
We'll have them up on our Graceworks podcast, or our Graceworks page,
yep,
gear page, in within a day or two here.
So let me tell you just a little bit of story behind this, right? So Jay-Z, and this was probably 10 years ago, he started to promote what's called "Do What Thou Wilt." Okay, So the full expression comes from the Satanic Bible and Aleister Crowley and the rise of the Church of Satan. That was, I think it was 1969, the first Church of Satan in San Francisco. But the Satanic Bible, their high command is what's called, do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law. Do whatever you want, okay? It shall be the whole law. Jesse, that's what's gone on in our culture, right? It's this idea that if it feels good, do it. You know, there's no standards, there's no principles, there's no ethics. If you want to do it, okay? And so, but that's what Satan wants. He wants chaos. He wants selfishness, okay? Narcissism, okay? I come first. This is all, and you just listed the Church of Satan from Detroit and all there for. What is that? It's all, you know, of me, okay? And that's what Satan's all about, right? And so I contend that it was the 60s where this revolution occurred, right? And some people call it a sexual revolution. Well, I call it a satanic revolution, where just this explosion came on the scene of this idea. And when you whittle it all down, do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law. So that entered our culture, all right? And then it led to the propagandists for the pro-death agenda, who, you know, started to say my body, my choice. What, you know, I always go back to Germany and the propagandists there. You know, I think it was Joseph Goebbels who said, if you tell people a square is a circle long enough, okay, you just keep repeating that, they believe it. Well, my body, my choice, my body, my choice, my body. You can see, but all this was ushered in at that time. And I believe that it was quelled just a little bit so that Satan had to kind of, you know, the frog in the boiling water, you kind of had to add it slowly when you weren't looking, kind of thing. Not so much anymore, okay? I mean, in recent years, we've had satanic rituals literally at Super Bowl halftime shows, in holiday parades, okay? They put images of pagan gods on the Empire State Building. I mean, it's just in our face. And this whole idea, do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law, is really, when you think about it, that's the high command of the Democratic Party. It literally is good versus evil. So what about what I have on my t-shirt? This is what the Blessed Mother, if you recall the wedding of Cana, okay? And she goes to her son and says, hey, they don't have any more wine. And he kind of pushes back. He says, I don't know if it's my time or not. She doesn't even listen to him, okay? She just turns to the servants and says this, do whatever he tells you, okay? It's the only time the Blessed Mother gives a command in all of the Bible. And she actually kind of, you know, goes around her son to do it, right? I mean, if you look at that closely, and then what happens is bland water becomes rich, delicious wine, which represents the Holy Spirit. Okay, so here we are. I hope that wasn't too long to explain all that. But Jay-Z, the ushering in of Satanism. Satanism has become popular among youth. They're practicing Satanism. There's reports of the Eucharist being stolen out of churches so they can do their satanic rituals. I have a friend who, in his youth, did satanic rituals. And one of his friends, actually Satan had told him that he needed to kill his aunt, and he went home and took a knife and did it. He's in a sane asylum right now. But all I'm saying is that this explosion of evil in our times, and I think we are at right now a critical moment where we can go one way or the other. Okay. And if we go the wrong way, I think it's multi-generational effect that it'll have on us. We'll be generations trying to dig us out of what they're trying to usher in right now. And I just close with this, as I put it off to you, Jesse, is this saying right here, do whatever he tells you. You want the Holy Spirit, you want the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, okay? Then you be obedient. Okay, and that's where we are. We want to do it God's way. Once you start doing it God's way, watch what happens, okay? That's where we are right now, okay? where, and there's another side that's like, is there even a God? And then narcissistically, do what thou wilt. So Jesse, I'll pitch it off to you, but we're at that level, aren't we? It is make or break. There is no more gray area. This is black and white right now, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely, Father. Let me back up what you just said. The Democrats are the party that booed God.
Yeah.
That's an article that came out.
Or took them out of the Pledge of Allegiance at the recent convention.
Correct. In 2012, at their delegate convention, when Villaraigosa was basically having them vote as to whether they should keep Israel and God in their party platform, the Democrat delegates, they created probably the worst image in modern political history, because what they did is they booed God. It was overwhelming. The people that wanted to keep God in the party platform, it was a very silent yay, very silent. And the people that wanted to take out the delegates that want to take out God, it was thunderous. It sounded like a Super Bowl rally. Right. And then, like you said, this year, August 18th of 2020, you had the moderator for the Muslim delegates at the DNC convention this wasn't by mistake, but he omitted to say one nation under God. He said, I pledge of allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, and liberty, and with liberty and justice for all. So this Muslim delegate, his name AJ Durrani, he omitted under God 2 days in a row. And there's a lot of high profile people that were there: Bernie Sanders, Keith Ellison, you know, Chair Tom Perez, Rashid Tlaib. This is the anti-God party. And I'll give you one more piece of evidence. If you go to the DNC party platform, and if you read their 54, 55 pages of what the party holds, you'll see that the DNC mentions God 3 times. The RNC party platform mentions God 15 times. Here's the difference. The RNC mentions God 15 times in their party platform as a noun, like just like when we pray, we say Heavenly Father or our Lord, our God. When we pray, we mention God as a noun, as a person. Same with the RNC. They mention God in their party platform 15 times as a noun, as a personal being that we worship and we beseech. The Democrats mention God 3 times in their party platform as an adjective. In other words, three times they use the term, here's one on page 2. We believe a good education is a basic right to all Americans. We will end the school to prison pipeline and build a cradle to college pipeline where every child can live up to their God-given potential. Page 13, Democrats believe that everyone deserves the chance to live up to her God-given potential. Page 40, same thing. The world will be more secure, stable, and peaceful when all people are able to reach their God-given potential and live in freedom and dignity. The Democrats mentioned God 3 times, never as a noun, as an adjective, as a throwaway word. And so I think that they are the party that does hate God.
Wow, Jesse. I mean, thanks for doing that research, by the way. Did you have to read through the whole thing that the Democrats put?
Both of them.
All right. God bless you for putting up with
God bless you.
All that. I just got to say that.
I did it on an airplane. So, you know.
Did you take a holy water bath afterwards? Or?
I considered it penance. It was penance. That was some serious reparation.
Reading. Yeah.
110 pages of political speak.
Oh, wow.
That was brutal. It was brutal.
Yeah, that is rough. Yeah. Okay, well, just cut right to it. What are your, you mentioned going to the jugular earlier. Give us a good solid throat punch, eye gouge about why we can't vote Democrat as Catholics, as any faithful Christian denomination, but especially Catholics. Why?
I'll tell you why, because number one, they hate Catholics.
Right.
They hate Catholics. Case in point, look at what's happening.
Because we're a threat.
Look at what's happening right now to Amy Coney Barrett.
Right. Okay?
if she was a Muslim woman with seven kids, they would never be saying the dogma lives, the Quran lives loudly within you.
Right.
That would never be said. But because she's Catholic, it's open season. So right now, the Democrats are just making our case. They are demonstrating that they're the openly anti-Catholic party. You can also see, in fact, if Biden wins, boy, oh boy, we ain't seen nothing yet. You also see other Democrat senators. Remember Mazie Hirono of Hawaii and Kamala Harris of California. Remember the way they grilled during this a federal judicial nominee by the name of Brian Buescher. They were grilling him. Why? Because he was a member of the Knights of Columbus.
Right.
And they were both these senators were saying, hey, but you guys subscribe to traditional Christian moral teachings as if that's a felony or something. Then let's go fast forward. Let's look at the governor of the New York State, Andrew Cuomo. He signed into legislation back in 2019, legislation that legalizes abortion up to the moment of the child's birth. And then what did he do? What did Cuomo do? Then he lit up the World Trade Center and another New York buildings in bright pink lights. And he also said, Cuomo said, pro-life Americans have no place in New York.
Uh-huh.
Let's go on to Governor of Virginia, Ralph Northam. In a radio interview, he defended the idea that mothers should have the right to kill their healthy babies even after they're born. And it's also become fashionable for activists in the left to boast publicly about their abortions. You want to see some more anti-Catholicism? Again, just look at these hearings. Watch closely all the anti-Catholic snipes that they're taking at Amy Comey Barrett. And the point is this, is that the Democrat Party is no longer the party of John F. Kennedy, Robert F. Kennedy,
right.
Jackson, L. Smith. We can argue that was a party back then, 40, 50 years ago, that was still strongly pro-life. They believed in religious liberty. They were deeply patriotic. They were pro-military. That's not the same party today. We're looking at a party that's essentially been taken over by socialists. 3 days ago, 10-7, Wednesday, 10-7-20, you can look this up. President Putin from Russia, he was interviewed about, hey, what do you think about Joe Biden? I'm going to paraphrase what he said, but you can look this up on the internet. He said, I can work very well with Joe Biden. He says, because the Democrat Party and Russian communist ideals are congruent. He says, our ideology of Russian communism and the Democrat Party is the same. It's compatible. So I can work very well with Joe Biden. This was just said by Russian President Vladimir Putin. So if anybody thinks that we're making this stuff up, that the Democrats are now the Socialist Party, no. I'm not saying it. Putin's saying it. And right. He should know what a socialist is because, again, he's lived that all his life.
I a lot of what's going on right now, Jesse, is this talk of systematic racism. And, you know, they're trying to make the claim that conservatives or Republicans are racist somehow or white supremacists or whatever. But here's, I don't get it too, because I see it in some of our church leaders too. I don't think it takes a great philosopher to understand logic to this level. And here it is. What party has kept people of color down and dependent in order to build that dependency so that they can keep their voter rolls high? In other words, and so what party then really gives minimal, if any, effort to build a successful economy, to lift people out of poverty, to give them jobs, and therefore to give them a sense of self-worth, virtue? I mean, part of the problem with people of color right now is that the fathers are missing, they say, in the marriages. Well, I just think that's a part of a greater problem that they don't feel a lot of self-worth. Okay. So the sense of virtue and values in that, what party has brought the education system to its knees? It's horrible. I always say that I can always tell when I have a public school child or a homeschool or Catholic school child in the confessional through the screen. I can tell which is which. And this is 32 years of priesthood. But why? Because when they get to the time where a lot of these young kids haven't memorized the act of contrition yet, when they go to read it, okay, when it's a public school child, I mean, they struggle. And I'm telling you, at age 18, they struggle. You can get a four-year-old, obviously not a four-year-old, but a 7, 8, 9-year-old who is not in the public school system. And they're just like, oh my God, I'm hardly sorry for having offended thee. I mean, it's just no problem whatsoever. And that's just kind of an aside to just is my experience, but you can see that. So you talk about systematic racism. If you're keeping people down and dependent so they keep voting for you, who is the racist? Now, am I right or wrong about that, Jesse? Would you say?
Oh, yeah. The systematic racists, there are racist individuals that because of concupiscence, sure. And that's as a result of our fallen nature. But where is there systematic racism? I'll tell you where is that? Planned Parenthood, which is supported by the Democrat Party through legislation and through funding. Planned Parenthood, the founder of Planned Parenthood said the following, quote, Margaret Sanger, "We want to exterminate the Negro population." So if you want to see where systemic racism is at, the Democrat Party. The KKK. Right. The Democrat Party gave us Jim Crow laws. Yep. The Democrat Party gave us segregation. Yep. So when you want to talk about where systemic racism is at, to quote Michael Jackson, rest in peace, he had a song that was called The Man in the Mirror. Democrats need to look at the man in the mirror because everything that's racist about this country, slavery, segregation, Jim Crow laws, Planned Parenthood, everything that's racist and evil about this country, the Democrat Party has their dirty hands in it.
Jesse, don't you think possibly that quote from Margaret Sanger, could you maybe be taking that out of context, maybe? I mean, it's not, I mean, she was a bit subtle in saying that, if you think about it. But I mean, she didn't stop with just, obviously I'm being facetious here, folks, but she didn't stop with just Negroes as well. I mean, she went after any real minority type group, if you want to call it that. This is something that I look at, you know, Father, you brought that point up about the school system. And even under the last 4 years of President Trump, almost 4 years now, and even under George Bush for 8 years, you know, before Obama's 8 years, the school system has been indoctrinating and twisting and churning out this kind of socialist mindset for a long time. I mean, this battle, clearly we're talking a lot tonight about, you know, our kind of tongue-in-cheek fun little title, Mansplaining for the Catholic Vote. But, you know, we're making this point that really, ultimately, it's not just voting for a politician or politicians or a particular party of some sort. It's voting in the direction of what is morally just, what is morally right, what is correct. As the saying goes, it's not left against right, it's right against wrong. It's not right against left, it's right against wrong. And that's ultimately where the root has to fall. But this goes into the school systems. This goes into grade school, where, you know, just in fact, Father, you and I out in DC recently, someone was telling us about when they were working in the school system years ago as a teacher, they were being told you can't refer to them as boys and girls. They had to be robins and canaries. Yeah. Or some ridiculous thing like that.
The teacher started the class by saying, I refer to myself with the pronoun him or his. So let's go around the room now and you can tell everyone what pronoun you choose to go by.
Yeah.
Where we're at right now.
And this is grade school.
Grade school.
So these are examples, and we have to wrap our minds around the reality of how serious all of this is. And that this vote in particular right now, I mean, if we lose this vote And we do not have a far, far, far more pro-life, pro-family, pro-Christian president and politicians running the country, we are going to see such devastation. And I know, Jesse, you follow this very closely. I mean, Kamala Harris's positions, obviously they're keeping things from becoming too public, such as, are you going to pack the Supreme Court? Well, you know, according to Biden, you know, the voter doesn't deserve to know that until after the election, you know, which I think Amy Coney Barrett should throw that out there for fun. She's not going to, of course, when they ask her questions, you know, as this week goes on that we're recording right now, you know, for the hearings, she should say, well, I'm not going to tell you my answer to that until I'm voted on and nominated, or until I'm appointed. I mean, they would never go for that, but they go for that for the guy that's running for the president. It's insane. But Jess, speak a little bit, if you can, to Kamala Harris and Biden. And we know that there's a lot more of a darker, they want to remove guns. They want our Second Amendment. They want to destroy that. They want to upside down and distort and remove, I mean, Catholicism, Christianity in general. There's far more behind the scenes than is being allowed out that the voter needs to understand. We're going to lose so much more with regards to Christian rights, Second Amendment freedoms, and so forth, if these people are put in place. And I'll throw this in too, Jess, you can mix this in there too. Recently, Nancy Pelosi coming up with the 25th Amendment stuff, but saying that this isn't specifically for this president, it's not for President Trump, for future presidents. Could this, as some are speculating, be for Joe Biden, so as to remove Joe Biden maybe and put Harris in the position of presidency? What are your thoughts on this?
That's exactly what's gonna happen, because he's unfit for command. He doesn't have the mental intellectual capacities or the gas. He doesn't have the stamina for 4 years. And this is the most pro-abortion leftist ticket we've ever seen in my lifetime. Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, both of them, they refuse to answer the question, just like you said, about packing the Supreme Court. They're not going to answer it. They're giving you the Nancy Pelosi answer. You're just going to have to sign it, wait and find out. Also, another thing, I'll tell you something else. Just think about this, Father and Doug. Let's just say that Amy Coney Barrett was having an affair with a governor and moving up the pecking order in the food chain because she was having an affair. Do you think that would have come out in the hearings today? Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Well, let's be honest. Kamala Harris, at the age of 30, was having an affair with Willie Brown. I think he was the mayor or the governor back then. And that was open. It was an open. He bragged about it. He was a married man, and she was hanging around his arm everywhere he went in public. It was like what they call open marriages. But the fact is, she moved up the pecking order in California politics as a result of being Willie Brown's girlfriend, who was a married man. Oh, and this is scandalous. Again, I'm asking, if the shoe was on the other foot, if Amy Coney Barrett moved up the food chain in the world of the criminal justice system by, being the girlfriend of, Justice Antonin Scalia or something, trust me, we would have never stopped hearing about this. Okay, what type of example does that give to other young girls? And we're trying to teach them about the Me Too culture. Don't give in to these nasty old men. What's that say about the Me Too culture? Also, another thing about Kamala Harris, something very interesting. Her father, he's a retired Stanford professor, Donald Harris. He's an openly Marxist scholar. He was known in Stanford as a Marxist scholar. And in fact, he wrote a paper that's on the internet. The father of Kamala Harris, he brags that he's from Jamaica, that his ancestors owned black slaves. Mm. Can you imagine if Amy Coney Barrett, if it was somehow established through her family tree that she owned black slaves, we wouldn't hear the end of this. Yeah. Another thing about Kamala Harris, most people don't know, is that she marched in California with Black Lives Matter. Mm. For sanctuary cities, she's for health care to illegal aliens, she's for eliminating private health care insurance, And also, she wants to allow felons to vote for president. Let me tell you, this woman is dangerous.
Yeah.
She is more left than Hillary Clinton. And in fact, I'll prove it to you. There's a website here. It's called GovTrack. It's an independent organization. GovTrack says this, quote, Kamala Harris is ranked as the most liberal member of the U.S. Senate in 2019. That comes from GovTrack.com. I just can't tell you how dangerous she is. And once again, personally, I think it's shameful that she would commit adultery with a married man, a powerful player in California, the Democrat Party, and she moved up the pecking order. What kind of a message does that send for young ladies? Okay. What about this whole Me Too movement about, you know, feeding the appetite of these powerful, filthy men? And now that Kamala Harris has positions of power, now what's she doing? She's weaponizing her political offices against the Catholic Church. You don't believe me? Just ask David DeLayden. David DeLayden, that young, brave Catholic man who did some investigative reporting and demonstrated that Planned Parenthood was cutting up baby parts and selling them in the black market, which is against federal law. Well, did Kamala Harris, when she had this evidence presented to her, did she go after Planned Parenthood? No. She went after, she covered up for Planned Parenthood, and she went after the young Catholics, David DeLayden, and his, I think it's called, what, the Center for Medical Progress. Yeah.
Yeah, something else she said, too, is she was slammed by some in the press for saying this. She said that, that Black Lives Matter was the most essential vehicle for justice reform and change with regards to police behavior in the country. She praises Black Lives Matter, which is clearly by now been so tied in with the violent protests, even though many people on the left are going to try to, you know, ignore that. They did scrub a lot of their website, didn't they, Jesse, with regards to the things that they were really standing up for. They want to burn the system down, replace it. They're against the nuclear family and so forth. She praises Black Lives Matter as being the most significant and important, essential, you know, vehicle for justice reform and change in the country right now because of the protests and the riots.
Let me put on my police hat. Here's why Black Lives Matter scrubbed a lot of that from their website. I'm gonna connect the dots. Biden and Harris are receiving a lot of flack from people, and they're saying, hey, okay, these guys are donating to Biden and Harris's campaign, and these guys have Marxist communist principles on their website. Biden and Harris's campaign called them up and said, hey, you guys are bringing too much heat on this. Take that off. And so they said, okay, yeah, we want to get, because Black Lives Matter and Antifa, they're the paramilitary arm of the Democrat Party right now. And so they basically told them, scrub that stuff because my opponents are going to use it against me and Trump's going to use it against me in the debates. And so that's why that got scrubbed. But also, Doug, when Kamala Harris, you know, she's a California politician. Can you imagine? Think about this. Most of the 50 states don't have California liberal values. She does not represent most of the United States. Her Northern California liberal values are not representative of the vast majority of the Americans in this country. And so, again, she's not only a leftist, she's an anti-Catholic bigot, and that's already proven. And also, as GovTrack says, she's the most leftist senator that we have right now. Very dangerous woman. We've got to defeat her. And that's why as Catholics, we got to pray as if everything depends on God and yes. Act as if everything depends on us.
Yes. Hey, Jesse, I was just thinking as you were talking about that is I have a new addition behind me. I want to point him out, but that's John the Beloved. And it's the classic scene where they tried to poison him. He's got, I don't know if anybody can see that, but he's got snakes coming out of the chalice that he's blessing. Okay. And I thought of that because you just talked about prayer, right? And how important that is. You know, and maybe you could talk to this too, but their machine is huge. They own and operate all levers of influence. They own the media. The media is in the tank for them. I mean, she can have an affair with the governor and move up, and nobody's going to talk about that, right? But on our side, if you sneeze to the left, you should have sneezed to the right, okay? I mean, anything and everything is picked at. But I mean, look at the Clinton emails. I mean, you sit there and you destroy it, your emails and all, nothing, right? So it's a Goliath, isn't it? This machine that they're at. And so a lot of people, Jesse, are tempted to despair because it's just so big. But here's what I've noticed, okay? First of all, God is more powerful than Satan. I'll point back up to the poison here, all right? God is more powerful than Satan. They bring their poison into the culture, and what do? We call upon God. But here's what I'm noticing what God is doing, Jesse, is that with prayer, okay, they are being met with bad stuff, okay? Bad things are happening. And here's what I equate it to. The story of the prodigal son, okay? What did he do? He left his father, okay? He turned his back on his father. This is a parable. It's meant to show our relationship with God. He turned his back on father. He led a narcissistic life, okay? And then what happened to him eventually? The economy went bad, and he ended up in a pigsty, you know, and they wouldn't even give him the husks or the corn, you know, but they were trying to say, this is how bad it got for him, all right? I think that's what happens when you're outside God's home, okay, the prodigal son, when you're outside God's presence, you are vulnerable to a lot of bad stuff happening to you. And I'm saying, and this is where I'm going with this, I'm saying that's the prayer that's getting the poison out, okay? And that's the way God seems to be acting. People, we can't despair. We can't despair. We are praying. Just look at what happened this past weekend, you know, across the whole nation, and it's continuing right through. We just did a 54-day rosary. You know, I mean, we're praying, and I believe things are happening, okay? We prayed in 2016, and you had the WikiLeaks, and you had the reopening of the email and all this stuff. Because why? Because they're outside. They're living their narcissistic, making themselves their own God life. And God's kind of like, that's not going to go well for you. You know, can you speak to that? You know, it's a Goliath, isn't it? That they own everything, right?
Yeah. But I'll tell you what, Father, it is David and Goliath, but we know how that story ended up.
In right.
17, we won. I say prayer is firing the winning shot.
Yep.
Okay. Prayer is firing the winning shot. Both sides, and that's why Matthew chapter 12, the Lord says that when we die, we're all going to be judged by everything that comes out of our mouth.
Right.
And all our actions. Mouth and our actions. When we pray, you're adding either to the blessings and graces.
Yep.
When you curse and you poison the air with filthy talk.
Right.
You're adding to the yes. culture of death. You're adding to the problem.
Yes.
So this is a battle. People's prayers are ascending like Abel's.
Yep.
And Cain's curses and his phony fake worship of God.
Right.
Because he's a man who lives in objective evil. His petitions go downward.
Right.
And that's the battle that we're in right now. As Catholics, let me just remind men, here's when your prayer is most powerful. Number one, when you're in a state of grace, James, that's what I call the
absolutely.
James.
Absolutely.
When you're in a state of grace, your prayer is powerful. Number two, be very specific with your prayer. That's called the Matthew 7:7 principle. Ask and you'll receive, seek and you shall find. And I'll tell you, and now especially as men of the house, as husbands and fathers, when you're a praying man, boy, oh boy, because demons and the evil, they recognize patriarchal authority, spiritual patriarchy, and right. also, civil patriarchy.
Right.
They respond to that authority. They yield to that authority. And so when you get Catholic men praying, the merit of our prayer comes from, number one, the office of being a husband and father, yes. number one. Number two, being in a state of grace. Makes right. your prayer more efficacious. And number three, precision in prayers, like shooting a bow and arrow or a bullet. Exactly. Precision in prayer, because theology teaches prayer begets what it signifies. So pray for victory for President Trump and Republicans. Pray for the defeat of Joe Biden and the culture of death. Pray for the eradication of Planned Parenthood, Black Lives Matter, Antifa. We've got to be very intentional and specific with our prayer.
Can I add one thing to what you're saying there? I'll point to my t-shirt again. Pray obediently. So what's been handed down to us? What the way in which we should pray? Don't make up your own prayers. Do it the way that God has revealed through the saints, through the Blessed Mother, through the sacred scriptures. I found in my 32 years of priesthood, it's amazing when you actually pray the words of sacred scripture. It's amazing what happens there. There's an anointing on, but what are you doing there? You're praying obediently, okay? You're not doing it your own way. Like, you're superior to all the other ways that God has revealed it to you. Once you do that, it's amazing how powerful your prayer is. So novenas and devotions and sacramentals and all that stuff, that's why they have power, because you're saying yes to what God has revealed to us. Wouldn't you say?
Yeah, Father, you're spot on. You're talking biblical, because the reason why Catholic prayer is powerful, and I've talked with witches and Satanists about this, they say the reason your prayer is powerful because it comes from God's word.
Right.
And God's word is, there's precision in the language right. of Catholic prayer. And that's what makes it very dangerous. The merit of prayer, when you're in a state of grace and you're praying in precisely with the church's prayers and the church's language,
right.
Your prayer is going to have a lot of merit. It's like shooting a bullet from a clean barrel.
Right.
But when you're not in a state of grace and you're making up your own goofy type of prayers and stuff that have no right. rhyme or reason, it's like trying to shoot a bullet from a dirty barrel. It's not going to project very well. Right. And so if your soul is dirty, your prayer is going to be ineffective. But the power of Catholic prayer is because precisely it is the word of God, and the devil recognizes the word of God, and he recognizes it has power. For example, here's one verse, Jeremiah chapter 5:14. The Bible says, "See, I make my words a fire in your mouth."
Yep.
"And this people see the wood, and it shall devour." So the Bible says that God's word is a fire in yes. our mouth. Jeremiah 23:29. It says, "Is not my word like fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer which breaks the rock in pieces?" Notice these Bible verses. Prayer has an offensive nature to it. It right. harms the wicked. It's an airstrike against demons. It's literally an airstrike, because our prayer ascends like incense. The Bible calls prayer also the sword of the Spirit. The right. Bible calls prayer also, God shall strike with the rod of his mouth, with the breath of his lips, and slay the wicked. When you study God's word in scripture, it's an offensive weapon. And so as men are projecting these words into the air, there's an offensive nature to prayer, and demons recognize this. This is what the Air Force calls an airstrike.
Right.
And what you're doing also when you're praying for men, the angels are being called to duty. They're like saying, "Reporting for duty, sir," because yep. the theology of the angels is when you start praying, angels are now, boom, I'm on duty. They come and take your prayer. Tobit chapter 12, verse 12, Tobit 12, 15, Revelation chapter 8. They take your prayer like incense before the throne of God. Right. So prayer causes all kinds of activity in the spiritual realm. The angels are carrying your prayer to God. And as they're carrying your prayer to God, the prayer they're carrying like incense is doing torment and wounding demons on the way.
Right.
If Catholic men only understood the power of their prayer based on the office of man, the office of father, living in a state of grace, and the precision of our prayers, guys would say, "I wish I had 1,000 lives over again so I can pray, pray, and pray."
This is yeah. a 50-round clip too, right? Bishop Coffee, he's the auxiliary bishop for the military. He held up that when he gave his talk, he says, "You got yourself a 50-round clip right here."
Right.
Yeah. And Jesse, as you're saying all this, one thing that I want to emphasize that we just need to get, again, one of these things you have to get your mind around and understand is that you say the angels are there. And when we start to pray, they know, you know, reporting for duty and they're engaged now. I think a lot of people have been kind of indoctrinated with this idea that we're just kind of here, you know, in the middle of everything. And all this is going on around us. The angels are doing their thing and this and that. And to a degree, yes. But because of free will, we play a major part in how these battles go, how this all unfolds. And like you said, when we as husbands and fathers in particular, as a priest, you know, you know, we take it seriously. We recognize this is my role, spiritual head and so forth and this and that. And the angels are waiting in effect to say, okay, I'm not going to force this on you. You have to take this up and own it. I always say we got to own it. Own it means I've got to live it out. It's got to go from the 12-inch drop of just what I know. It's got to drop to the heart. And once it reaches the heart, then it's like the blood in my veins and it animates my body. It's out to every cell of my body is my Catholic faith. But there's this intentional ownership of this. And you're talking about intentionally specific in prayer, intentionally engaging in the battle, intentionally taking up the spiritual arms, the weapons, and so forth, the rosary, his father just held up, and sacramentals like that, and so forth, and that this is part of it, and that the angels will then jump in far more than before. They will cooperate farther because they're just waiting for us of our own free will to say, yes, I'm part of this, rather than sitting back and saying, hey, you know, I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, and I'm done. That's all I got to do now. And you're saying that we have to own this in order for us to really be as effective as it could be.
Yeah, that's why a lot in many places we're losing the fight because there's not prayer power. There's not a lot of prayer power, and especially amongst men, because men hold the position of authority. Father Ripperger, one of his recurring things that he teaches over and over again in his lectures to priests that are exorcists, he teaches them this, quote, angels go where they are called, demons go where they're not resisted. I'm going to say it again because this is the theology of prayer. Quote, angels go where they are called, demons go where they're not resisted. I'm going to say it one more time, three times so you get it. Angels go where they are called, demons go where they're not resisted. The theology is specifically this. The angels are waiting for us to call. In fact, the Blessed Virgin Mary said that there he is. He's right there. Hey, join us in the studio. There was a Bernardine sister. The story goes that Our Lady appeared to her, and this Bernardine sister, she asked Our Lady, she says, why do we have to pray? I mean, can't God just send us his blessings and graces? The Blessed Mother told this Bernardine sister the following quote. Our Lady answered, quote, because prayer is one of the conditions required by God himself in obtaining favors, close quote. It's the Matthew 7:7 principle. You have to ask. If you don't ask, you will not receive. So angels come when you start praying because the job of an angel, one of their jobs is to take your prayers to heaven. And so they're on duty as soon as you start praying. A lot of guys never have angels around them because they don't pray. So you got a lot of unemployed angels around you. But guess what? Demons don't have to be called. They're always doing what they say in basketball, a full court press. Right. Demons have to be resisted because they're always on the offense. How do we know that? 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 9. Resist the devil and he will flee. The Bible says you have to resist. James chapter 4, verse 6, resist the devil. Two apostles tell us that you have to proactively resist him by faith and prayer. Angels, on the other hand, they've got to be called.
Yep. You know, I always remind people that we call out to God, our Father, you know, our Father who art in heaven. He's a perfect dad. So we're talking about why does he require us or seek that we pray, we ask, okay, think of a perfect dad. Think of the best dad you can think of. What is that dad doing? He's trying to draw out the best version of ourselves possible. He's trying to elevate our game. He's trying to get us to excel, you know, as people. And so he's not going to just sit around and, you know, be our sugar daddy and just dole out stuff, you know. He's going to, a good dad does what? He says, you want this? Show me. Okay. Show me you want this. I want to see some effort. Okay. I want to see that, you know, you really want this. So that's why too, that's why I think the 54-day rosary novena is particularly powerful, because we're in this for 54 days. And for a lot of people who've never picked up a rosary, you mean 50 Hail Marys, right? 50, you know, but there is in there, okay, a disciplining to get us to strive, right? To grow, to become the best possible version of ourselves. So if you want something, our dad, our perfect dad in heaven, is saying, show me, okay? Show me that you want it. And that's what I think the power of prayer comes from, is when we not only pray, but we pray with love, but with reverence, and honor God, do reverence. I mean, that's why I think too, is I always tell people that my primary mission as a priest is to help people to get to the point where they go, my Lord and my God, you know? And once you're at that point, right? Everything changes. And now that's called fear of the Lord. You're afraid to ever offend him, right? I don't want to offend you. So yeah, help me to become the best version of myself that I can possibly be. Okay. And I won't take you for granted. Okay. Yeah,
Father, can I chime in on that too?
Yeah.
Something else that, and I know you and I have talked about this in the past as well, is just that word perseverance in prayer. Right. Perseverance is we give up so easily.
Yeah. And,
you know, with anything in this world, we appreciate the athlete that never quits.
Right.
You know, in fact, I just heard this on the news driving back from the airport from Dallas today, coming back from the Rosary or National Rosary Rally. And the report of this, I forget who he is, Alex Smith, I think, quarterback, you know, broke his leg a couple places 2 years ago when he was playing. And, you know, guy's a millionaire from being a professional athlete. He could have just retired. He fought through it, came back, and he's playing.
He had like 17 surgeries or something like that.
Yeah, it was something amazing like this. Yeah. And he comes out and yet it's Sunday in a football game, and I'm not watching the NFL right now. But
me neither.
Yeah, they just, you know, I just fed up with all that. But the fact that he throws a pass and everybody says, amazing. Why? Because he persevered. He didn't quit. He was against all odds. It was the underdog story, and he just kept fighting through the rehab, the surgeries, everything, and he's back on the field. And everybody just says, wow, this is a success. I'm thinking, well, that's a success story. Well, what about those who pray and pray and pray and fast and pray, and they continue? They don't give up. They don't quit. They persevere. The deeper growth that happens there when we do that is not recognized or acknowledged enough. It's a Saint Monica, obviously, type of thing. She's a saint. Why? Because of all the diseases that she cured, because of all the people that she fed in the streets. No, she's a saint because she never gave up praying and you know, for her son's and her husband's conversion, you know. And I just, what, 20 to 30 years or whatever the numbers are, you hear over and over, this woman shows us, even in tears, when Saint Ambrose says to her at that one point, don't worry, God never ignores the tears of a mother, the perseverance of this. And I think, Jess, it goes back to what you're saying about it's an ownership thing. We have to own it. We have to be convinced that this is something that I have to throw myself into. But combining that back to the point of the Catholic vote and why we are mansplaining all of this right now about the Catholic vote is because we need to deepen that prayer. We need to own this moment right now, pray like crazy, and not just pray for the politicians, pray for more Christians, Catholics, for everybody to recognize what is really on display here, what this battlefield is really showing us right now, and choose what is right and engage in what is right immediately and not put this off at all. Does that make sense, Jess? Did I tie that nicely together there?
Yeah, yeah. And this is why as Catholics, we got to stick together like never before. Never before. You know what? You know, I see the Catholics right now. There's only 8% of Catholics that have returned back to Mass. 8%. Think about that number.
Wow.
I look at us like, I remember that scene in the movie Gladiator. You have you know, Maximus and the other gladiators are standing in the middle of the Colosseum. They got their swords in hand. They're back to back, and they're inside the theater. And he says, you know what? I don't know what's coming out of those gates, but I do know this, that if we stick together, we'll have a better chance of survival if we work together. Do you understand?
Right.
If we stay together, we will survive. I don't know what's coming out of those gates. That's the same way I feel right now. Catholics, we are called the church militant. We got to be back to back right now. And we don't know what the future has in store for us, but we do know this. United we stand, divided we fall. We have to hang together or they're going to hang us separately. And our Lord warned us that if a kingdom is divided against itself, it cannot stand. Mark 3:24. And remember, that's the devil's oldest strategy, divide and conquer. So Catholics, make sure that you are networking with other good Catholic men at your parish.
Yeah.
And have a battle plan.
Yeah, and that's too the big motivation for putting together the United States Grace Force. I mean, we're up to 76,000 people, and these are all people that actually believe that God is the God of miracles, and that we call out to Him, God will answer our prayers. Maybe not exactly how we want Him to answer them, but it's always better. You know, it's always better than what we could ever expect. But and I want to say thank you to all the United States Grace Force for hanging together. We continue to grow, and here we are going to the election. We've got a band together. We'll have a few more campaigns coming up. I know for one thing we're going to do, we did this in 2016, is the Novena to St. Jude. And we did that in 2016. And on the Feast of St. Jude, when we were done with the Novena, Comey gets up and opens the email investigation. So, I mean, you can't make this stuff up. So, you can't make this stuff up, right?
You can't make this stuff up.
But we do believe God's power, more powerful than devil. And so we'll band together. We'll pray with belief in the power of God. And I believe that God will answer our prayers. So Amen. You got anything else, Doug, you want to say before we head out tonight? Or
no, Jesse, just one more question for you. If you can you're not a prophet. Well, maybe you are, I don't know, but.
Oh, I know the question you're going to ask.
What do you think, Father? What am I going to ask?
Who's going to win?
No. What do you think this looks like if Biden wins?
Okay, here's what's going to happen. Yeah. Here's what's going to happen. President Trump and Vice Mike Pence are going to win. I'm telling you, they're going to win. Law enforcement's got their back. This is the first time law enforcement goes for a Democrat. They always go for a Republican, they always go for the Democrats because it's blue collar jobs. So they just say, hey, let's go for the union guy. First time in 40 years, law enforcement is going for the Republican. Number one, Latino vote is going for the Republican. Telemundo did a poll. 66% of Latinos polled in Telemundo, which is a leftist network, are going for Trump. 34% are voting for Biden. This is the first time in the history of my life that I've seen the majority Mexicans in a major respected poll amongst Hispanics are going for the Republican.
Nice.
Number three, the Catholic vote right now. National elections always break. The Catholic vote always decides which way, who goes to the White House. Right now, 54% of Catholics are tracking with President Trump. 46% are tracking with Biden. So if you look at all the data, he's going to win. Now, what's going to happen? They're not going to take it sitting down. They're going to continue. They're going to gin up the riot. So all I'm saying to Catholic men, make sure that all of you, make sure you have the proper equipment to defend your house. I would just say, I think it's responsible for every Catholic man at this point to own a firearm and have a lot of ammunition.
And Doug's initiative is so timely right now.
And that's one of the reasons we've pushed so hard to get it launched yesterday at the time, October 13th, because exactly that point, Jesse, the left has been promising that even if Trump wins in a landslide, you know, Glenn Beck has talked about this and others out there, Tucker Carlson, others, they're promising more riots. And if anybody's thinking, oh, I don't know about that, look what they've been doing the last 6 months. All right. I mean, they will ramp this up. And you're right, Jesse. We need to be prepared. I'm telling men all the time, and Jesse, you and I have talked about this. You got to have other men that got your back in these situations in case things really get crazy. But that's why we did the Battle Ready Emergency Preparedness course, because we wanted to get it out before the election. And there's more to come, but the bulk of it's done now. It's out. It's to help people get ready on all these levels, including civil unrest, violence, and uprisings like this.
And Doug, I consider you an expert in this area. So I can't tell people enough to please sign up for Battle Ready Emergency Preparedness. And where do they go again, Doug?
Yeah, on the screen right here. There it is, right there. BattleReadyStrong.com/preparedness. And it'll be in the description down below as well. BattleReadyStrong.com/preparedness.
Yep.
Yeah, we've got to be ready spiritually and physically. Yep. We all know this. This is as rules as Catholics. We used to have Catholic knights out there. Their job was they trained for battle and they consecrated their lives to Jesus through Mary. Knights of Malta, the Crusaders. I mean, the Knights of St. John, you name it. We've had Malta and St. John, same order. You had the Battle of Lepanto, perfect example. These were men who were prepared to physically defend. We hope and pray it doesn't come to that. But, you know, Jesse, you're a former law enforcement. You know we need good, morally grounded, solid, well-trained, ready-to-defend men out there.
Yeah, and something that you've been emphasizing all night tonight too, Jesse, and I know you do too, Doug.
Yeah.
You got to be in a state of grace.
You got to.
Or you're firing blanks.
Yeah. You just 24/7, 365. That's got
to be in a state of grace.
On the list.
Get rid of those vices. Go to confession as often as you need to. But you got to be in a state of grace or you're firing blanks.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's a great way to end, don't you think? All right. Let's end with a prayer. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and enkindle in them the fire of your love. And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
Jesse, awesome. Thank you again, brother.
Anytime, guys. Anytime.
This is great.